couple of late scratchings at Flemington yesterday, and that trend continues this morning. Dan Malecki off the bench to join myself and Dean Lester here to look back at racing around Australia yesterday. And firstly, Dino, as I welcome you into the program, terrific day's racing right around Australia yesterday, and another quaddie for you and Rammer's Ruffy up. So there was plenty of Dean Lester fans enjoying Saturday night last night.
Yeah, it was a good day, Warren, and I'm glad to have a little bit of luck the last couple of Saturdays. I think the better tracks certainly make our job that little bit easier, and it played well yesterday, Flemington, and the two group ones in Brisbane, talk about dry tracks, that was a very dry track yesterday, and the times reflected that.
Dan Malecki, welcome you in, and lovely to have you back here with us on a Sunday morning. How did you see racing around Australia yesterday?
Yeah, I've missed you guys. It's been a while now, but I have enjoyed the Sunday sleep-ins at times. Look, it was terrific racing yesterday. As Dean said, some of the feedback coming from Eagle Farm, you know, to hear some trainers and jockeys say it's the hardest track that they've ever had horses race on or ridden on is quite extraordinary. The measures that the club have obviously taken for not to chop out if there was any water or rain put on it is amazing. But look, it created a terrific story with Ty Zone. He's clearly one of the most popular horses in Brisbane. And as Dean said, it was terrific to finally get a track that was a little bit drier than the previous 6 or 7 weeks. It's probably been the wettest run we've ever had at Metropolitan Saturday meetings.
And that Stradbroke victory of Ty Zone could well be one of the reasons why Brendan Delaney's having this morning off. He was on Ty Zone at Log Odds last year in a futures bet in the Stradbroke, and he followed up again this year. Congratulations, Brendan. You found Ty Zone. You found the right race for him. This is how Robbie Fradd pulled it off yesterday.
Dawn Passes has reached the lead. Down the outside is Madame Rouge running a real cheeky race. Likewise, Chief Ironside. Rainier is over on the inside. Graff runs home as well. And Ty Zone is down the outside with Trekking. Madame Rouge has got the lead. There's a wall chasing. Nicanova's coming through. Ty Zone the outside. Madame Rouge, Ty Zone, Nicanova, Vega one lead as well. Ty Zone! I reckon Ty Zone, the Tolga Tornado, has got up and won the Stradbroke in photos. Nicanova, Madame Rouge and Vega one all up there as well. Followed by Rainier, outback by.
Toby Edmonds getting his first Group 1 victory with Ty Zone in partnership with his son Trent. Dino, what was your take on the way they ran the Stradbroke?
Yeah, I didn't know where to look in the final stages, Warren. Look, it was obviously going to be a good speed from the start when you have a Waterhouse Bolt horse in the race and drawn wide, and Dawn Passage went forward. I thought he got across fairly well. Looking at his action, to me, he was one that really suffered on the firm ground yesterday. I'd be very forgiving of him. But, they've run 120.43. So very, very quick gallop. And Ty Zone, yeah, just going that bit better than last year. Madame Rouge just looked the winner. When she came out of the pack, she just looked the likely winner. But Ty Zone nabbed a late Nicanova, close up Vega one likewise. And, I'm sure... there's probably a few that came back out of the race with hard luck story because it was such a bunch finish.
So you mentioned forgiving of Dawn Passage. What about the run of Trekking? He seemed to be in a running line with cover. How did you assess his performance?
Yeah, it might have just been an end of prep run, Warren. I thought he probably would have had another run left in him, but he put a lot into that Goodwood and then had to travel. And ultimately it was the local horse that hadn't done any travelling and set for the day. I just think great training. I mean, for a horse to run a placing in the race last year and get it in yesterday with 52.5, they've been very single-minded in getting him there with the right weight to right or wrong from last year, maybe.
How do you see the Stradbroke, Dan?
Yeah, as Dean said, not sure where to look, but they were getting off the rails enough where Rainier, who was, pushed along second last, coming to the turn, probably saved 4 or 5 lengths. But in the end, obviously, it seemed towards the middle and centre of the track is where all the momentum come from. On reflection, two horses that were unlucky. Winter Bride was certainly that. How much further up the track she could have got to is with a question mark. But clearly she was stiff, and I know he's the sort of horse that is not at the top of the list of most fans. But the more I look at the race, the more I believe that Kemantari should have been in the finish. I think he was real stiff for a horse that's actually finished 14th. I do think he should have been in the top three.
Stewards report says as much with Kemantari, Dan, supporting your view, held up in the home straight and as a result went to the line not fully tested. And the other horse that you mentioned, I think was Winterbride, was it, Dan?
Yeah.
Titan Faroom had to be checked approaching the 100-metre mark, and Jimmy Orman, who rode Nicanova, actually copped a suspension for careless riding through some of that interference. So I think you've identified two horses who, from a steward's perspective, they agree with you, Dan, that that they should be forgiven. From an overall strength of the Stradbroke point of view, Dan, how do you rate it in this year where obviously things were restricted a little bit? It was going to be off for a while, then it was on again, and we had the two Group 1s yesterday. But how do we rate this amongst recent Stradbrokes?
That's a good one. It probably didn't appeal as, your Group 1 race. But Ty Zone's got that form from last year, so he's probably the perfect horse to use as a gauge to last year. Obviously, trekking and perhaps the track conditions lend itself to some of those horses figuring down the track. Look, there's probably a few other class top level Group 1 horses that would have been in the race, but it was still a big field and you still need a lot of luck, and Ty Zone has rode the bumps from last year. So look, it may have been slightly down, but the depth of the race was still pretty strong. It was still a pretty open race. It was typical of a Stradbroke, and look, whether the race was worth 1.5 million or 350,000, it still looked like a Stradbroke to me at the top of the straight.
Your thoughts there, Dean?
Yeah, look, I think for the money on offer, like the significant change, they brought together a good field and people chasing that Group 1 status, and that's what, you know, probably a few of the, especially the mares, were trying to achieve. And I think they did pretty well considering, because the uncertainty at a time where you were really trying to set horses on a path probably just brought them undone a little bit. So to get a field together like they did, I think it was pretty good. And as Dan said, it certainly it looked like a Stradbroke with the race structure and the overall time. The track was playing incredibly fast, but they still had the talent to run the time.
The other Group 1 on the program was for the two-year-olds over 1,400 this year. The JJ Atkins and Rothfire was the favourite.
Just in front is Wisdom of Water. Down the outside is Rothfire. Between them is Isotope. And running home is McCrura. But Rothfire's hit the lead in the Group 1. Opened up a length and a half clear. Wisdom of Water can't go with Rothfire. Down the outside is McCrura. Further out to the drinks card. But it's all Rothfire. And the thriller from Chinchilla. He's a Group 1 winner. And Rothfire Brewers won it by 3. Got a kiss. Gets up the run second. Third's a photo.
Josh Fleming bringing out the nicknames yesterday, Dan, for the winners of the Group 1 races. Hard not to be impressed with the winner, Rothfire.
Yeah, absolutely. Drawn out wide on the track as well. Excuse me, made his own luck and was very impressive. Look, there was a number of really good runs in the race. There was Overlord, I thought, was terrific, and Got a Kiss. Steph Thornton, her first Group 1 ride, ends up in a second. But Rothfire, I must admit, as much as I thought he was a good horse, I've had to elevate that status. I think there was enough depth in that race to be able to identify a good horse, and when he thrashes them like that, well, his estimation has risen in my eyes. And the talk now is, the Everest was brought into the equation from Robert Heathcote after the win. It was a demolition job. I mean, it was really exciting to see, Warren.
What were your thoughts on the JJ Atkins, Dino? Rothfire out to 1,400.
Yeah, look, I thought he had a really good chance, but I didn't think he'd be able to do that. And it was a tremendous win, and for mine, it was the win of the day. And he's an exciting horse, and he's had a good body of racing for a two-year-old, so he's well seasoned. So if he was to go down that path, whether he's good enough, I'm not sure, but he's not going to be an inexperienced horse in that regard. So he was very good. I was pleased to see was that Overlord ran well, because he hasn't been able to beat Peltzer at his past couple, and I think that just shows that form will be really good. And Peltzer's a horse I'm really following into the spring, but Rothfire was really dominant yesterday.
We've seen Rothfire dominate races from the front when the tempo's been suitable. What did we learn about him, or what do you think was a benefit for his racing skills the way the race shaped up yesterday?
Look, I just thought it was a really professional effort. He got it absolutely right on the right day, and they came across from the draw and was able to just dominated that race. He was too good, and I think again, they did well to bring this field together, and it was a smart move for the 1 year to bring it back to 1400. I hope they don't go with that permanently, because I love the idea of the 1600 two-year-old race at the end of the season. But he was the best yesterday. But I think, as it often does with JJ Atkins, it'll throw up some reasonable form going forward.
Any other highlights from the overall card at Eagle Farm from your point of view, Dino?
No, not really. I didn't have much joy up there, Warren, to be honest. No, it was certainly the group ones. I thought the win in the Grand Prix, it was a really good training effort by Chris Anderson to get Ballistic Boy there. Those horses came off a really taxing race last start, and it actually stood them in good stead. Ballistic Boy, Supergiant. Supergiant was huge again yesterday. He's a good, tough horse. Navy Cross ran quite well, but Ballistic Boy, I don't know where he fits into the scheme of things in our staying ranks, but I'm sure he's got a bit of a future at the staying caper.
Any other highlights from the Eagle Farm program from your perspective, Dan?
Look, probably towards the other end, Warren, and as Dean has pointed out before, and I know you're well aware of, it's just that hard track. I think horses that you think may have performed below their best, I think we've just got to be really forgiving of. I mean, it became evident, I'm not really a social media person, but some of the trainers that were getting on, and quite earlier on in the day, it's almost as if they predicted that's the way it was going to be, or they've walked the track. So if there were horses that performed poorly, I wouldn't be giving up. I think you've got an extra excuse this time to maybe be more forgiving.
Firm track at Eagle Farm yesterday, but certainly some quality performances, particularly in the two group ones, Rothfire and Tyzone, taking out the JJ Atkins and the Stradbroke, respectively. We were racing at Flemington yesterday. We're on a soft five rated track. First race was over 1,000 metres. That's where Prezzato does his best work.
It's Parwin Prince, who's won down the straight before and from within, from all over Bossa Nova, making a line of three. Out deeper, Snitzcraft, then Misty Yo, Prezzato, trying to get involved out deeper, and then came Well Sprung and Kenyon Wonder. From within, approaches the 200 metres, led a length, Snitzcraft and Prezzato chase hard. From within, Oliver goes for the whip. Here's Prezzato, the outside. Prezzato, sprouting wings again, takes the lead. Oh, loves the straight, loves the 1,000. Prezzato won 3/4, Snitzcraft from within, all over.
Well, he got his career off to a terrific start, Dino, but, 1,200 metres and different tracks and various circumstances dulled his winning strike rate a bit. This has been a great sort of rebirth of Prezzato with these 1,000-metre sprints in recent times.
Well, just the programming's probably fallen his way, Warren, because this is what he's been good at all along, 1,000 metres down the straight, and he's had to, have a stocking filler career running at 12 and 1,100 round turns and not... not getting what he's needed, but the last three runs he has. And yesterday, look, I didn't think he could be ridden any better than Jamie Carr's been riding him, but to the average times and how he built his speed, Craig Williams did that absolutely magnificently yesterday. And he ran the best 800, 600, 400, 200 of the day, as you'd expect, 1,000-metre race. But he was just perfect the way he timed that run, and it showed in the margin. He was really, really strong through the line.
And it seems to be important early to at least give him the opportunity to relax a little bit and not be exposed and get fierce. And he Stewart's report has him being slowly away yesterday. It may well have been a tactic to not just fly the gates and find at least some cover early.
Yeah, and I think that the riders in front probably knew their main danger. The biggest asset he's got is if he relaxes, but to his detriment, a slow pace can bring him undone. And I think they went, for the standard of horse that they are, Parwin Prince and From Within went very steady by their standards and even went steady through the middle stages. But he didn't get up on the bit at all yesterday, Prezzato, really. And he just travelled into the race and built his momentum and won accordingly.
How did you see the first, Dan?
Yeah, well, From Within with that natural speed is the right sort of horse to get a genuinely run race. We've seen enough races down the straight this season where they don't really go at what you would consider a genuine enough tempo. So it's good to get that thorough 1,000-metre gallop, which is obviously suitable for Prezzato to come from just off the pace. Snitzcraft was very good. He's had a bit of racing. A lot of it he's been without luck, and he's got some wetter track. So the better track conditions, even though he was back in distance, which was probably not his most suitable, I thought he ran really well. From Within, honest, fitter, and all over Bossa Nova. But even Mr. Yo's run wasn't too bad first up. But, look, Prezzato was just, has been in the zone, loves Flemington. I think every time he comes from the stables, from the stables to the race day stables, he must be pretty excited because he just races so well there. And I think for most punters, it would have been part of their all-ups. So it was a great way to kick off the day.
From a futures point of view, Dean, is there anything out of this race that you could identify a likely target in the weeks ahead?
Well, probably with Prezzato, it gets a little bit tricky now because that All Victorian Sprint Series goes up 100 metres in the next two meetings. So whether that's ideal. Snitchcraft, I think, probably keeps racing. And I think he appreciated the backup. He was a bit keen in the blinkers last week. And the quick backup, he raced well. From within, all over Bossa Nova. That's about where they're at the moment. And yeah, I think Mr. Yeo, you know, getting to 1,200 will be better suited looking at his Singaporean form. That would suggest that he'd be better at 1,200.
Down the straight over 1,000 metres for the first. We're at 1,100 metres for the two-year-olds down the straight in race two, and Zesty Bell went around favourite.
400 metres to go. Sabrina just in front of Zesty Bell. And then came Sophia. Further back, Astro Ruby. Pentangeli's trying to work into it behind them. Pocket Goddess out wider, followed by Sunshines across the track. And the front runner with about 150 to go is Zesty Bell from Sophia. Now Sunshines, and over on the far side, Standoff is storming through. Standoff is going to win it. Standoff took the front and scored from Sunshine. Zesty Bell, Sophia.
Might have just lost my line there for a while there. Have I got you back, Dino?
Yeah, you're back.
Warren?
Standoff taking out race two. Just a slight technical hitch there, but Standoff dashing very quickly with Dwayne Dunn back nearer the inside of the bunch in the home straight there, taking out the two-year-old. Dan, what was your take on race two?
Was getting quite gripping, Warren. Standoff. Look, I was in her corner yesterday. That, for those that can remember, her debut run was quite good for a horse that was finishing down the track, missed the kick, and ran on pretty well. And in what turned out to be a pretty strong race, had jumped out pretty well. Look, she's still not the furnished product yet because she was a bit slow away. But gee, the last 200 was terrific. Her burst was excellent to reel in. A pretty handy feel. Didn't look the strongest for what was Saturday form. But she finished off like she's a Saturday horse. Sunshine's travel up really well when she got the gap, was able to finish off well. Sabrina, look, she goes quick. She just seems to go too quick and overdoes it in front, and she looked vulnerable and was swamped in the last little bit. But she set up a good enough tempo. Sophia was solid. Zesty Bell at the front of the field, I thought she ran well. She's been a star trialer, and her race day performance was quite solid yesterday. I think that was some of the better runs in the race. Potentially was okay. Divine Caprice, look, it wasn't a bad effort with a big weight. She seemed to be isolated there with that big weight, but I thought she ran quite well. But the winner and the second horse in particular, I think they've got tremendous upside.
Did you see this race, Dane?
Yeah, look, I was just a little bit wary of the Grand Dalziel pair, and just thought that of the two, maybe Brian Higgins, who does a fair bit of riding for the stable, might have been on the better one. But Dwayne Dunn got the steer on Standoff, and he got it right too. The horse really burst through late. It was a good win. She was home ninth best last 200 of the meeting, again, over the shorter courses. These straight races were early in the day, but certainly she was significantly quicker than anything else late in the race. Sunshines ran well. Zesty Bell, if you're on Zesty Bell or Sophia, you were thinking they were a winning chance at about the 200 to 300, but they hadn't put the race away, so there was that vulnerability, and ultimately there was one or two that came out of the pack and got them late. And I think this wasn't a bad two-year-old race in it to the standard of the day, so it might stack up reasonably. A horse like Pet and Gilly, I think, I'd want to see over maybe a touch further, but yeah, even though it was quite bunch there, I'm trusting this form a little bit more than, say, the two-year-old race there a couple of weeks back.
Standoff taking out race two, and perhaps some reasonable form with the time stacking up pretty well relative today for the two-year-olds yesterday down the straight at 1,100 metres. Out to a middle distance of 2,000 metres for race three, and Ramaz Ruffy was Persan.
Around the turn at the 500 metres, it's Dargo, Flanders Rain, joined by Persan. Highland Jack is going to persist with a run-up on the inside. Hyper Kane down the centre, followed by Independent Road and Miss Harriet. Persan sprints up, takes the lead from Highland Jack as they reach the 250. Hyper Kane, Miss Harriet, Independent Road chase, and then Coulth. But the leader, Persan, with 100 metres to go. Two lengths, Hyper Kane, Highland Jack, and Coulth from the back. But Persan is going well, and Persan and won it by about two lengths. Second Hyper Kane, third
Clerk. Well, Dino, it was a horse that you'd identified was pretty well placed and thought tactically might be able to get into a good spot. How did you see the race panning out?
It was a thing of beauty, Warren. The way it worked out, they didn't go very hard, but Persan was able to get up on the pace. And what he can do is he can grind out a race, and I love that Jai McNeil got on and got going early, came out three wide, put the pressure to them and took a bit of the sting out of the ones around him. And a horse like Coulth just had too much to do from back in the field. His actual sectional times were very good for a young staying horse learning his craft. He ran very well in running third, but Persan just made it a bit of a slog up front from a fair way out, and that was what he needed to do.
And from your point of view, did he run better or take it to a level that he hadn't done previously, or is he running to the mark that you thought that he'd be able to perform to, and that was going to be good enough to be right in the mix yesterday?
Yeah, I think the key, there's a couple of key elements to his form, is that probably after his maiden when he was looking for 2,000 metres, but whether the Mara and Eustace stable identified this race and thought he needed to tick over run in between, so he stayed at 1,600 and he was out sprinted, but brilliant concept then went and won at Sandown very well last week, sat four wide and got the money. So that form was okay, and he'd had the grounding of the two runs at 1,600 so that he could be tough at 2,000 metres. So I think they'd really identified a race for him and trained him for it. And I love seeing that, and they really got it right yesterday.
What are your thoughts on this race, Dan?
I think even that better track too, Dean, with Persan, looking at his Ballarat run, while he got through it, it looks like he's going to be a better horse on a track like that yesterday, because the way he picked up, it's like he had a second kick when everything else started to come with their runs at about the 400. He had another gear to go to. It was really impressive part about him, and I suppose that's something he couldn't do on that heavier track at Ballarat last start, and I thought he picked up like a pretty good horse that can get a further trip. He was impressive. So well identified there. I think it would have been a pretty comfortable watch. Hyper Kane, I think he's going well from 1600 to 2000. He's had a terrific prep. And Coulth, his racing style, if he's going to keep getting well back on the field like that, he's going to need things to go his way. Clearly, he's got a lot of ability, but, whether it comes down to a better gait so he can sit a little bit closer, but he gets back in the field, takes a bit of riding, takes a bit of coaxing, but still his first prep, so he's got a lot of improvement there. Independent Road was solid enough. Flanders Rain, ridden a bit closer last start up and trip, it didn't work. She's been up for a while. Highland Jack, he bled, so that's a three-month ban for him. He bled from both nostrils, so perhaps an excuse there if you've backed Highland Jack yesterday. But I think from a strength perspective, I've got a lot of time for the top three.
Coulth, Dino, he's still learning his craft. He might well be the most talented horse to come out of the race, but still got a bit to learn from a racing smarts point of view.
Yeah, he does, and I think he's just a balance up and run on horse, a big actioned horse, and he ran well. And I think the Mahogany Series final is 2,500 metres at Flemington in a month's time or so. If they continue on that path, it looks as though he'd eat up that sort of trip. So I think whilst he was beaten yesterday, I actually thought that was the best run of his career, because he faced better opposition. He had a lot to do off a pace that really didn't suit him, and he did pretty well.
Via the SMS, Jeff, and just looking back at the Stradbroke, 34.3 for the first 600 in the Stradbroke and 120.43 overall. Many predicted a moderate speed, but big fields, Dino, often deliver the dynamic speeds. And obviously with the track in the condition it was in and that big field, it certainly resulted in a fast race yesterday.
It certainly did, Warren. And it was it probably told a little bit late, but as I said, I think the firm ground had a bit to do with, say, the feet of a horse like Dawn Passage.
And one from Brian from St Albans, why isn't there a Queensland and Derby and Oaks? I just think they revised the initially, Dean, they were going to have the virtually no Group 1 racing and no carnival, and they were able to put together a carnival for the JJ Atkins and the Stradbroke yesterday, and the Grand Prix effectively takes the place, I think, as the Derby in disguise for Queensland this year.
Yeah, that's right, Warren. I think with regard to, you know, when they... you know, put the carnival on hold, that was the time when horses were probably trying to prep up. And, yeah, then, you know, you would have had a rush program. So I think what they've done is fair enough. And, yeah, you know, the Grand Prix would certainly will be an adequate replacement for this year to get a grounding into those three-year-olds anyway.
Race four at Flemington yesterday was over 1,400 metres and Clinton McDonald had a two-pronged attack.
So it's Honey Esprit at the 300 metres leading by a length and three quarters. Holbein Simply Optimistic. Never Again Red Core down the outer, followed by Mount Popper. Honey Esprit at the clock tower at the 150. Holbein back to the inside. Simply Optimistic and Never Again run on. Honey Esprit just in front of Holbein. Honey Esprit, Holbein's lunging now. They reach the line. Honey Esprit, I think, just beaten Holbein and led all of the way. Never Again.
How'd you see this race panning out, Dan? A positive ride aboard Honey Esprit.
It was, and ran along at a decent enough clip. It was a race where there wasn't much that happened from out the back. Mount Popper was a little bit slow, but then got rails runs. It was pretty good. Never Again, obviously, running on. Simply Optimistic, I don't know what you do with it. Our Peaky Blinders from the back was probably the best of the closers. I Could Do Better, We'll Have To. Probably over-raced a little bit and was exposed, but I still thought it was entitled to finish off. But, you know, first up, new country. While disappointing, I suppose there's something to work on. I think I certainly underestimated the winner. Probably with that gap between 5 weeks was more the reason, but the market suggested the stablemate was the one that was the more fancied Never Again on the quick backup. Look, she was pretty good and pretty brave towards the end. Holbein does what Holbein does, and he was solid, and his record around the turn, while he hasn't won out of turn at Flemington, he does run well there. He looked like he probably had his chance. Lachlan King had a look at the video just to see whether there was any grounds for protest there. But look, while it's to the chagrin of punters because of the price the winner started at, you can't knock the performance yesterday. She, Honey Esprit, was terrific. But Clinton McDonald's mentioned on a few occasions now that even he can't predict what she's going to do. It's up to her when she leaves the barrier stalls. But her A-game was on display yesterday.
How'd you see this race, Dean?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. The one thing about her form, though, I think she's better when she is on that fresh side, so maybe the 5 weeks did suit. And the overall figures for this race were very good, the second highest ranking race of the day. And they sort of run above standard the first four across the line. So even though it was the benchmark 78, it might stack up okay. And a couple there that were mentioned back in the field ran quite well, and they were, I think Our Peaky Blinders did enough. More Wanted's late sectionals were okay, but the debut of Mount Popper was quite good. I thought a little bit restricted room, but yeah, Honey Esprit, I was always told to back the neglected, not the selected, when the stable got two in a race, and it would have been the case yesterday, because Never Again was very well found and ran very well too. He's ready to win again, and Holbein, as Dan said, 1,400 around the turn, there's his go. And I don't know if they'll experiment again trying to get Redcore up in distance. He is what he is. He's a run-on sprinter. I hope he can get in a run-on sprinter's race, and a bit like Prezzato, he's a bit in the wilderness at the moment, but when he does get the right race, he could probably win one.
Yeah, Stewart's report highlighting it as much with Redcore. Craig Newart reported the gelding did not run out today's distance of 1,400 metres. Nothing obvious from a veterinary examination post-race, but maybe back in trip next start for Redcore. Race 5 at Flemington yesterday. Chris Caserta had been out of the winner's stall for quite a while, out of the saddle for a long time. He was back at Flemington riding Queen Ladiva yesterday.
Queen Ladiva went for home. 300 metres to go. Two lengths, Soaring Eagle. And then came Beauty Bolt up on the inside. Charzade gets out. And then Kingsbrook Shakura. Queen Ladiva with 150 to go. Beauty Bolt, Charzade chasing. It's Queen Ladiva. Beauty Bolt is coming at Queen Ladiva, who holds on. Queen Ladiva beat Beauty Bolt, Charzade.
Got to work hard to all of our jockeys, Dino, and Chris Caserta's developed an early relationship with Lindsay Smith and working hard, and probably a good stable be trying to be align yourself with, and a good front running ride yesterday.
It was a good ride in that she was back from 1600 metres to 1400, so she might have had just a little bit of sting out of her. So he made sure that the others had to work, and he was really aggressive out of the gates and made it a bit of a test. Again, a good ranking race for the mare's race, third best ranking race of the day. And she ran the 53rd best last 200 of the race, but she set her race up before that. Beauty Bolt, terrific run, freshened up. Shazade ran really well on better ground. She's just going well. The bonus is if she gets back on the heavy, you know how good she is in the ground. And they were the three that performed above standard for the race. And Soaring Eagle at a big price had every chance, but ran quite well.
Take on this race, Dan.
Well, I like the way she bounced out. The intent was there early, and often when you see a horse ridden out like that with the blinkers on, they can overrace, and it looked like she might for a while, but she's pretty powerful at the front of the field, and while she'd sort of set up what was a pretty good early tempo, to have that really good kick left, she looked clearly to have everything to her outside covered. Beauty Bolt's been terrific making up all that ground. By golly, there was a lot of room back to the inside, though, for to make that run up along the rails. Shazade, good to see it perform well on the drier track, as Dean had mentioned. Supray from the back was one of the better runs, had to come the widest, and is perhaps one to follow again out of that race, maybe even getting up to 1,600 metres. And obviously the outsider, Soaring Eagle, had the right spot in behind them, and there's probably a race in her. But Queen Ladiva, she's a horse that's had her problems. She's had a few different stables, and she's absolutely at the top of her game now. She looks like she wants to race, and more importantly, she wants to jump. And she's been doing that so well her last couple, and typical of a mare in form.
Yeah, she's racing very well. And Lindsay Smith, Dino, with taking on this horse and getting her to ride the speed's been the intent in the last couple of starts. Lining up with Chris Caserta here, probably just got to work hard to try and get opportunities from any stable when you've been out of the saddle for a long time, as Chris does. And a winner at Flemington's a great advertisement when you're trying to put your name back in front of the people who are going to give you the opportunities.
Yeah, that's true, Warren. And he would have carried out the instructions to the letter there. And she's a handy mare, as you know, she's been through a few stables and she's had the barrier issues and things, but that's the way to ride her. She's a full sister to a very good old horse of a few years ago, Kenjawood, and when he was at his best, that's exactly how you rode him too. Maintain a good strong gallop up on the speed, and I like the way they implemented it yesterday, and they did it at Bendigo, and provided she begins, she can keep doing it and keep winning these off-season mares races.
Stewart spoke to Dwayne Dunn regarding the performance of Supray and said he was instructed to hold the mare up for a late run, as in the stable's opinion, the mare performs better when ridden in that manner. He added that Supray may be better being ridden a little bit more forward. The way the race shaped up yesterday might have given him that feel. But Queen Ladiva did ride the speed, rolled forward, controlled the race, and Chris Caserta, no doubt thrilled to be back in the winner's stall at Flemington for the Lindsay Smith stable. Chapada hadn't won for a while. He'd run well in derbies in both Melbourne and Sydney. He went around over 2,520 metres yesterday with Dan Stackhouse aboard in race 6.
350 out. Chapada goes to the front from Ventura Storm. Then Masapu's out. Then came Cinder winner. Nerf Bosker's running on. Chapada at the 200 went for home. Two legs in front. It's almost been 2 years, but Chapada's clear of Masap. Cinder win, Nerf Bosk. Chapada led by a length and a half. Masapu's eating into the margin, but not fast enough. Chapada won it. A length Masaf, Cinder win, Nerf Bosk, then Starcaster.
Well, it was a race that got a bit messy during the middle stages, and that does feature in the stewards report, Dan, but Chapada, who'd shown the ability to win races better than this early in his career, good to see him back in the winner's stall yesterday.
Yeah, look, he adapted best, didn't he, to the race, and I couldn't have described it better myself. Messy. It was messy almost from the first couple of 100 metres. When they bounced out, guys, they went at a good clip, and you thought, oh, this is going to be a true test, but no sooner than you thought that, the brakes went on, and horses started over-racing left, right and centre. Horses that you don't expect to be over-racing, but the pace had changed so quickly. And then there were moves made when Cinder Wind took off. Somehow Valak found itself out three wide, and just the change-up of the race. But the one horse that didn't wasn't affected by it was Chapada. He continued to settle at whatever tempo was put on at different stages of the race. He was the one at every stage was handling it best. Clearly the runner-up, Massaf, didn't. Got into what was going to be a pretty good spot in the early part, and then it sort of went pear-shaped. So his effort to keep chasing was very good. And just the fact of having that run at the trip, it probably wasn't a true 2500, but it was a test in a different way. You can clearly follow him. Even Cinderwini had to go far too early to get put into the race. Nerf Boss was clearly much better. Perhaps those hurdle trials have sharpened him up. Ventura Storm does what Ventura Storm does. He was looking at the heavens again at a couple of times up the straight. He's had a couple of hurdle trials lately. Starcast, I don't know what to make of him. He just, look, it was the race where you'd probably be more forgiving, but you were expecting him to be over racing. He still finished off the race okay, so he's a bit of a puzzle to sort of work out, an enigma at the moment to work out if he's going to be a true stayer or not, because he just doesn't seem to settle. But as I said, yesterday was the race, a lot of others did. Tell you, there was a run out the back there. It mightn't be an obvious one, but by golly, when the hurdle races come around, Kalani kid, didn't he finish off well? So he's come up really good this prep. Well done to Chapada. He was ready to win, put the writing on the wall last start, and it's good to see him get another win next to his name.
That messy part of the race before I head to Dino in the stewards' report. After viewing the patrol video with stewards, rider Declan Bass conceded that after making good tempo early in the early stages, he then slowed the pace when the riders and placed riders following in an awkward position, racing close to heels. He was aboard Nashville Sound, and Dino, they reprimanded him for unnecessarily easing the pace of the race, passing the 1800. And it did create a little bit of a precarious position, I suppose, for a few in behind him.
Yeah, I thought he might have gone very close to a suspension there, Warren. It was a dangerous slowing of the speed. It certainly changed the complexion of the race. Don't think it helped his horse much either. But the one that it helped was Chapada. I think Chapada, as much as he hasn't been able to win, I think whilst he's been placed in the Derby, 2500 is his upper limit. And yesterday wasn't a really true test, but he was able to just keep blending into the race when he needed to. So it was a really lovely ride and made the best of the situation. Massaf, he was very, very good. It's a funny race because, as we said, they went very, that slackening of the speed, and then the others went around and made early moves, and they've come home very slowly, really, and it wasn't a high-ranking race, but I think Massaf will really improve off this, and then the usual suspects. But the one that Dan mentioned with regard to the jumps is Kalani Kid. The one thing he did get yesterday that he loves is dry ground, and for a jumper, he's better on the drier the better, but he was a terrific run.
One of your reservations with Massaf going into yesterday was that he was jumping significantly in distance, although it wasn't, as Dan said, a true test at the 2500 yesterday. Would that sort of have him on the path now that you'd be very confident that he'd be just about right for his next start in this distance range?
Yeah, it'll serve him well because it wasn't a hard test early. He was 5 lengths below standard for the first 1700, only improved a bit the next 400 and then improved home evenly. If he keeps along this Banjo Patterson series, I think he and mentioned El Farris last week, and the Hayes Dabnik stable confirmed that he's definitely going down that path. So they're the two that I'd be thinking getting towards the Banjo Patterson final are heading the right way.
Matty Kamani hadn't had his hands on Credence for very long, settled him up yesterday in race 7 over 1800 metres.
Coming up towards the turn, it's Artie Lucas in front, but it's off the rails from Nobu, Southern Rock, and then Credence, out deep, no saying it. Aussie Nugget and Star Missile stoke up out widest and sticking to the inside, trying to run on Sava Heat. Artie Lucas at the 350, went for home, a length and a half, Credence, then Mr. Reckless, no saying it, and Sava Heat on the inside. Artie Lucas at the 200, Credence giving strong chase, and then Grinzing a Star. Credence moves up to Artie Lucas. Credence and Artie Lucas, 100 to go. Credence takes the lead from Artie Lucas. Credence just in front, unlucky the other day, wins today. Credence from Artie Lucas, and third the outer.
Putting a bit of value into the quaddy, Dino, how did you see this race panning out?
Yeah, so he's the horse to follow off the last meeting, and he ran, he was terrific. His second up form had been good. He had the change of stable after a luckless run. You don't see that combination very often, and the rider kept the ride. So it was a benefit for Michael Poy, and he did it perfectly yesterday. This was a middle-of-the-road ranking race on the program. He was good. Artie Lucas is going well. He dictated at a pretty gentle speed by his standards, so he could kick on, and he ran well. And just showing what these tracks of recent weeks have been detrimental to some horses. Grinzinger Stars looked to be going okay, but the wet tracks have been thwarting him. Onto a better ground yesterday, and he turned the tables on many of these horses and ran really well. And I mean, it's a bit of Russian roulette at this time of year, hoping for dry ground. But if he gets another dry track, he'll win pretty soon. And be tempted, when she goes back to mare's grade, she'll win pretty soon as well.
What about Aussie Nugget? What do we make of him yesterday?
Well, he got flushed out pretty early, and he was out wider on the track, and it wasn't that sort of day for that, you know, looping sort of run, I didn't think. So I'm sort of forgiving, but I'm thinking he's deep into the preparation with a couple of misses now that, you know, whether he freshens up and goes again, and you can back him in the spring or wherever he steps out. But I'm just a little bit worried that he's had a couple of runs where things haven't gone right and he's getting deeper into a preparation.
What's your take on this race, Dan?
Yeah, well, look, he was close enough on the turn when they fanned, but there was the day where not a lot of horses, when they'd come out wide, maybe if the track had more give in it, they were able to finish off, but they certainly didn't seem to do it yesterday. His last 50 was okay through the line, like you would want further, but I thought he was close enough on the turn. Beats Empton was good, like even for her to turn around the last meeting with another Nugget was full of merit. Credence sat a lot closer in the run, even though he was really unlucky and it had been well highlighted at his first up run. He was able to take a prominent position, but the impressive part about it was when he was asked to, it was a bit like Persan. He had a really good kick when asked. So too did the runner-up, Artie Lucas. They both kicked on because Grinzinger Star looked like it might have had momentum to run both of them down, but the two leaders kicked again. So I think that form's going to hold up. Grinzinger Star needs that dry tracks, and if he's going to get him at Flemington, there could well be another win in store for him. Seemed to be a whole lot of ground again on the rails where Savaheat may ground, and his effort was really good. I just thought the winner and the runner-up in particular were terrific on the day.
Nobu pulled up lame, so perhaps a forgive for there. Lame in the right four was Nobu, and Michael D incurred the only suspension out of the meeting, riding Artie Lucas and causing interference to Southern Rock, Credence and Nobu. So a 10-meeting suspension for Michael D that commences after Monday's meeting at Mornington out of race 7 at Flemington yesterday. Race 8. Vacillator runs his best races at Flemington. He got up in the nick of time yesterday.
It's Rocks the Castle, shook up at the 300 metres, led by a length to Haunted, who's still coming. Then Romance, a serious suspect. Vacillator and Mr. Marathon Man. Haunted takes Rocks the Castle. Then came Romance. Here's Vacillator, the outer. It's Haunted in front of Romance. Vacillator's the threat. It's Haunted trying to hold on Romance. And Vacillator coming hard. They hit the line. Photo finish. Vacillator got up, I reckon. Vacillator from Haunted, Romance. Photo fourth, Mr. Marathon Man was there with a...
Well, the race caller yesterday got it right. Dan, as a race caller, what did you think of the race yesterday, race 8?
Would fully expect he would as well. Vacillator, look, got the right run, had the cover at the expense of Iconoclasm. A bit like Chapada at his previous start, he did put the writing on the wall. If you took on face value the performance as a one-off, you could easily entertain him yesterday. When you looked at his record, you might have started to backtrack. But he was finding the line, and he just was given a lovely ride. Iconoclasm got left out on a limb. He was sort of travelling four deep in part. And while Vacillator came wide, his run was still towards the centre of the track. We mentioned before there wasn't a lot of horses that come out wide, and some of them did that didn't really finish off. So he probably ended up in the... not necessarily the best part of the ground, but the widest part of the best part of the ground. And he found the line really well. You know, he's a Group 1 runner-up. It's been a while, but he wanted to find the line. Haunted was much better. I think punters are going to be haunted by him too, because his previous two runs were awful. He was up on the speed, no cover, and he gave a kick. Romanza's second up was terrific. Shinrook's sectionals late was very good, and the one that looked unlucky was Mr. Marathon Man. He's probably been put in the too hard basket for a while now, but clearly that Norton bit must have helped him settle, and I think if he got the run earlier, he would have fought out the finish. If he can reproduce, first of all, settling that way, and obviously the gear change was helpful, he's ready to win one, Mr. Marathon Man. But the winner, yeah, well done to them. Look, the conditions of the race suited him perfectly, and the long stretch at Flemington is something that I think the horse relishes as well.
Josh from Horsham, thanks for your contribution via SMS. And he agrees with you, Dan, that Romancer ran well. I can't believe Romancer keeps going around at double figure odds. He's as honest as they come and he owes me nothing. Thanks for your contribution. Josh Dino, how did you see this race?
Yeah, well, Vassalato, as Dan said, was he'd working up to a win. You just wanted to see him actually do it. And yesterday was the day and he got there in time. Haunted, James Cummings mentioned through the week on RSN that he'd sharpened up in his work and he'd run a lot better, and he certainly did. Romancer's heading well towards the Winter Championship final. Mr. Marathon Man got the all-important cover he needs early. That's why I think he ran a lot better. He'd probably get in a more truly run race too. Most of these races yesterday were run at very pedestrian tempos, not in keeping with the track. They were 5 lengths below standard the first 600 metres in this race. So a horse like Rockstar Castle can usually lead at a lot stronger speed. And that's probably why Serious Suspect pulled so hard, because he can roll along at a plus speed. And yet he was sort of 6 lengths a bit slower than what he can usually go. So I think, if Mr. Marathon Man gets in a more truly run race, and Mossendale, if he gets on a wet track, he'll be winning pretty soon. That was a really good return to form from him. I liked his performance just behind them in a Shinrook. I was a bit keen on him yesterday because I thought he'd take up an opportunity to just be a little bit closer from the draw, but they made no intention to do that. Smothered him up, made a late run, good late sectionals, but no result in getting into the money.
Vassalator continuing his affinity with the spacious Flemington track yesterday, recording another victory. Jolly Sailor went around in the last. He's building a good record for Henry Dwyer.
Jolly Sailor tries to go for home at the 300 metres by a length and a half. High Stranger Merited. Barbie's Fox down the outside runs on. Then Triton Rising Caramay. Jolly Sailor had a kick at the clock tower. 2 lengths Barbie's Fox Merited. Al Burke is flying home. Jolly Sailor still in front though. Sustained speed. This is a nice horse. Jolly Sailor won it. Seconds close. Al Burke or Barbie's Fox. Then Merited. Further back, High Stranger.
Yeah, not hard to man a case that he could be unbeaten to this stage, Dino. With the only time he was beaten, he was held up back on the inside and looked terribly unlucky.
Yeah, that's true, Warren. And he certainly showed how unlucky that run was with 2 city wins straight away. And it was a good win. He again, didn't go very hard, about just under 7 lengths below standard the first 600, but was allowed to get away with it. And then from there, he's really well rated and got the money. Al Burke, I think he probably appreciated a couple of things. A dry track and going to 1400, the gentle tempo, and he ran well. Barbie's Fox was good again, out probably where it was hard to win yesterday on the track. Merited even run on the speed, and High Stranger from the inside draw ran okay. Kurame is flying, just needs a good draw like she did when she won 3 starts back. It was another good run yesterday, but the wide draws have been so detrimental to her at her past couple.
Orienzel raced wide without cover and pulled up lame in the left four, so perhaps a forgive for Orienzel. What was your thoughts on the last, Dan?
Well, Jolly Sailor looked like it had that action when horses started to roll in. It came away from the fence, or was running away from the fence, coming around the turn, 4 or 5 away from it. And when they look like they're starting to curl up, and usually when that happens, they get overrun, but it was able to hang down to the rails. So once it got to the rails, it was actually a blessing for it. And clearly it has another kick. It showed its sand down when you think it might be all out. It seems to find an extra reserve. So once it was able to glue up against that rail at the 150, it was very strong through the line. Very impressive. Al Burke, another one. There was just a heap of room. A couple of races yesterday, everything left the rails and it saved the ground, saved many lengths. Clearly it was a better spot to be than out wide. Merited settled much better, so her performance mirrored settling better. And as Dean said, Kurame probably got as wide as any runner did during the day. I think the blinkers are going to be a good addition to her. She just didn't get the opportunity to maximise it yesterday. I think she's going really, really well, and it was a bit stiff for her that she had to end up so wide on the track. So I think you can follow her with a bit of confidence, I'd say. She wants a big track and probably wants a dryish track, but she just wants a fairer track as well, I would think. And she can be winning again, but the winner, still learning, but has still got plenty of upside.
Competitive day's winter racing at Flemington. Time for a quick break. We'll turn our attention to the Bob Charlie Stakes at Randwick and get the boys' horses to follow and runs of the day before Dan takes over with RSN Sunday Central.
Thanks away to Southern Lad. It's Classique Legend and Snitch going to the front, 100 out. Classique Legend, Snitch, Southern Lad closing in. Classique Legend in front there on the Bob Charlie, and Classique Legend gets the money. Let the Everest negotiations begin. Classique Legend beats Southern Lad and Snitch, followed by Viridine.
Don't think he's got too many people to talk to get a slot in the Everest, do you know? His owner's got a slot.
Yeah, he'll talk to himself. He's had this little cameo winter prep, which he probably needed to not have a long break, and just showed his class yesterday, gave the second horse 7 kilos and really knuckled down, probably on ground that's not absolutely ideal for him, but got the job done and won well. Southern Lad ran well. Snitz was on the speed, battled on well. And I just thought Jungle Edge, I thought Nash was just a bit keen to go a bit hard there with the 60 kilos. He battled on, but I thought, all honours with the class runner of the race, and you got an acceptable price to find out how he was going, and he's going pretty well.
One from Phil from Dubbo, a regular contributor. Thanks again, Phil. Warren, Dean and Dan, well done on the quaddie, even if I didn't listen intently enough. Why do you think Jungle Edge was wayward in the straight? Was he too far from the rail, Dino?
I think he was probably looking to get back to the rail, and I think he was just starting to fatigue a bit too, because as I just mentioned, I think he went too hard in the early and middle stages, I think that was probably a bit of a contributing factor late in the race.
Classique Legend, Dan.
Yeah, look, terrific win. Class come to the fore there. When it got to the nitty-gritty, he had 7 kilos more than Southern Lad. So I think that's when you can really identify a class horse, is when he was able to stick his neck out when things were tough and he was out on his feet first up, testing ground. He's a really good horse, and terrific to see him come back. And it's amazing what a win does. Doesn't matter what level they are, but even last prep, he was a bit unlucky in a few and up against the top company. And what it does for a horse's mindset to come back first up with a win, it's incredible. They might be animals, but they seem to know when they can stick their nose out and win a race. It does them no harm, that's for sure. So where he goes to from now, I'm not sure, Dean. At what would be on for him at this time of the year? It's just a tick-over run to make it easier for him to be at top fitness come the better races.
I think that was the mention, Warren, before, wasn't it, with Carmel Sides? It was just a little preparation to tick him over.
Can have a very similar preparation leading into the Everest as he did last year. Couple for you, Dino. Someone's very keen to get your tips. Are you running your track watch service for Swan Hill today? I know the Swan Hill Cup Carnival that's different this year is very close to your heart.
Yeah, it's the first time in 23 years I haven't done, online on race day. So, but enjoying I've done all the form and, track watch is up and running now, and also on the great tip off. If you want it on the website, just look up great tip off Dean Lester, and the selections are up and running now.
Google Dean Lester track watch or go to the great tip off and you'll find Dino's tips, and I'm sure you'll go well at Swan Hill. Warren from Vermont, thanks Dino for giving us 3 weeks ago a horse to follow in Credence. And gee, there are after your life history here, Dino. Was it true you had a Swan Hill Cup winner some 20 years ago?
It was the first year I'd covered the carnival, Warren. Go with the flow. 1998 won the Swan Hill Cup, and it was a great start to my sojourns every winter to Swan Hill.
And that Swan Hill Cup's, I think, close to Brendan Delaney's heart. It might be another reason why we've got Dan Malecki with us today. And now let's get Dan and Dean's horses to follow and runs of the day from yesterday.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
How do you wrap up yesterday, Dino?
Warren, it was a terrific day of racing. I think Classique Legends run was probably the run of the day for me, just ahead of the Group 1 performances, but it was a good day of racing. Horses to follow. It's a little bit tricky because we got onto it decent ground at Flemington yesterday, but thinking that the ground's going to be soft in the next few weeks, I think Moss and Dale will win a race pretty soon.
great work yesterday, Dino, and this morning. And those punters will be keen to be listening to you tomorrow morning with the public holiday meeting at Mornington.
Yep, we'll be covering that on Racing Pulse. So hopefully we can find a few winners there. Hopefully King of Hastings can deliver in the Gold Topaz today. I think he's the best at Swan Hill.
Great work, Dino. Thanks for your company this morning. Dan Malecki, you're about to take over and guide us through Sunday Central, and the focus of that initially will be the Swan Hill Cup meeting. But how do you wrap up yesterday?
Look, I thought the runs of the day were probably Persan and Credence. Similar runs, weren't they? They both had really good kicks at the in the last 200 metres. Jump's point of view to follow Kalani Kitty was terrific, I thought, an eye catcher. And Kura May and Sunshine's, two of the fillies that will go on, and I think they're ready to win at the next start.
Dan, look forward to listening to you, Dino, to take us through the rest of the morning with previews right around Australia. My run of the day was Rothfire. I thought he was terrific winning the JJ Atkins, and now he's had the run in the distance range and no luck yesterday. Won't be big odds, but I think Massaf will be winning sometime soon for the Chris Wallace stable. That takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for Sunday Central.